This is a surveillance slide updating a large study we published several years ago looking at the last 8 years of leptospirosis in Hawaii. And I have no relations to disclose, financial or otherwise. Just a background on leptospirosis, since a lot of people are unfamiliar with it. It's a zoonotic illness transmitted from animals to humans, mostly small rodents, rats, and mice. It's due to infection with a bacterial spirochete. The maintenance host has chronic infection in their kidneys, and they transmit the bacteria through the urine. So most people are infected through indirect contact with contaminated fresh water sources, mud, vegetation. And the climatic conditions in tropical climates like Hawaii are perfect for the environmental survival of this bacteria. So it can survive for extended periods of time in fresh water sources and mud. We've had a total during this time period of 297 cases. I'm going to be focusing on the cases that were related to exposure within the state that were laboratory confirmed. So most of them were, most of our 297 were infected and exposed within the state. And the majority of those were confirmed laboratory-wise. And I'll talk about the criteria we used. It was CDC surveillance case confirmation classification. And 11 were exposed outside the state. Of those that were total exposed within Hawaii, the annual rate, incidence rate, was 2.95, almost 3 per 100,000. And Hawaii consistently led the United States at the until 1995, when the CDC, in its ultimate wisdom, deleted leptospirosis from its list of nationally notifiable diseases. So during the time period of 94 to 95, in the US, the annual average was about 0.03 per 100,000. And if you compare that to what we had in Hawaii over the last 8 years, it's a 100-fold difference. These are the criteria we use for the confirmed cases, and this is going to be the focus of the presentation. It's 176 confirmed cases, and the serological reference tests for diagnosing leptospirosis and the criteria used by the CDC is a diagnostic microscopic agglutination test, which is a little bit challenging. You have to get paired sera on a patient. So you get a specimen right when the person's sick, and that may be negative, but then you get another specimen perhaps a couple weeks later, and the person may actually be well at the time, and you look at a fourfold increase in antibody titers. We have some isolates, but it's challenging to isolate because the organism is somewhat fastidious. It needs a special media, and it takes weeks before you actually can say that there's no growth. We can identify the infecting serogroup based mostly presumptively on the MAT result. There's some cross-agglutination, so it's not exact. But we've had isolates from icterohemorrhagia and australis, and that's where most of our cases were identified. Okay. This is a month of onset for the cases in which we had the information. So this is 166 out of the 176. And for those who are planning their trips to Hawaii, the winter, the NOAA folks, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, says we have two seasons, winter and summer. And winter is 7 months. Okay, the October through April. And you can see that October, the cases start to increase, but they actually the winter months are the rainier months, but there's also an increase in the summer too. So it's related both, I think, to rainfall and to recreational exposures outside. This is island of exposure for cases for which we had information. And Oahu is our main island. It has over 70% of the population, but it doesn't have the highest rate per population. The highest rates are on Kauai and Hawaii, which are more rural agricultural places. And of note, Kauai has the highest rainfall, and it's home of the wettest spot on the earth, Waialeale, 450 inches of rain per year. This is a map of Hawaii. When you look at the case distribution, it's mostly on the rainier sides of the island, the windward side, the northeastern coast of the islands. So top on Kauai, Hanalei, absolutely beautiful place. It's on the north shore of Kauai on Oahu. It's the windward coast where we have cases, and I'll show a picture of Mauna Willi Falls, which is a really beautiful place to go recreational swimming. On the Big Island, Hilo side is much more impacted. Sex and age distribution of our confirmed cases, predominantly males and adult males. And this is of interest in most epidemiologic case series. Men outnumber females, but when you do serological surveys of populations, like after large lepto outbreaks where they're trying to see what's going on, it's pretty much equal. So we think this is related to exposure, occupational, behavioral factors. There's no gender difference inherent in men and women. Women who are working outside are going to get lepto just as easily as men are. And when you look at the age classification, the youngest age reported rates are among the 0 to 9-year-olds, and this is also somewhat consistent. And this, I think it's related to cases just not being identified in kids. You know, kids present with febrile illness, and they're diagnosed as just having a viral syndrome. So they're not getting tested. And again, it's a little bit challenging to not only get a phlebotomy on a kid, but then when the kid is feeling better, to have the parent bring the kid in for just a confirmatory epidemiologic test. So we don't think that kids are not getting lepto. We think that we're just not diagnosing lepto in kids. Okay. This is the activities that we saw on those that we were able to interview, and we interviewed most of them. We have a very dedicated health department folks. Recreational and occupational activities are almost equal. Most common recreational activities are swimming, but it's not in the ocean. If you go swimming in the ocean, you're okay because the organism can't survive in brackish water. But fresh water is where we see this. And occupationally, it's related to agricultural activities, farming, and in Hawaii, taro farming is a Hawaii cultural activity that a lot of Native Hawaiians participate in. So we see a lot of infections, and that's the most common occupation. Habitational is a category we use for exposures around the home, and this is most commonly related to people that are doing gardening around their homes. Okay, this is beautiful Hanalei. And you see the little squares with the water in there, that's taro farms. So taro farms are sort of like rice farms where you're sort of wading around in a lot of water. And even if you don't have open sores or cuts, if you get macerated skin, that could allow for the spirochete to enter your skin. This is a close-up of a taro patch on Kauai with the flowing water. And you can see the high potential for getting an infection that's waterborne from fresh water. And this is Mauna Willi Falls on the windward side of the island of Oahu, and kids are jumping into a beautiful freshwater stream. And if you look very closely with your electron microscope, you can see little spirochetes in there. Okay. Presentation of leptospirosis in our cases is pretty much consistent with what's been reported nationally and internationally. Median of about 10 days of incubation period, which has, the duration of illness is about 2 weeks, and most of our cases that were reported were actually fairly sick and they were hospitalized. The signs and symptoms are very nonspecific, and the vast majority of them are fever, myalgia, and headache. So it gets diagnosed as, you know, viral-like syndrome, fever of unknown origin. Also, there's gastrointestinal symptoms, so sometimes it's a gastroenteritis. Less commonly, they actually get severe hepato-renal complications and can get diagnosed with hepatitis or acute renal failure. Laboratory tests commonly involve abnormal urinalyses and abnormal liver function tests, although severe involvement of the liver and kidney are not that common. And the most common hematological abnormality is a low platelet count. And I think that is one death. So we had one death. It was a tragic case of a 23-year-old Big Island resident, college student on the mainland who was at home on the Big Island, contracted lepto, got sick in Maryland, and he wasn't diagnosed. They thought he had just the flu, and he ended up passing away before he could get the appropriate treatment, which is early antibiotic treatment. Okay, and that's my last slide.
Okay, thank you very much. And we do have a couple minutes for questions. So does anyone have any questions for Dr. Katz about leptospirosis?
Okay, there was a landmark article by Takafuji in 1984 in the New England Journal of Medicine showing that doxycycline prophylaxis prevented leptospirosis among military personnel in Panama. And I think it's reasonable if you're going to be in an occupational setting in an endemic area to consider prophylaxis with doxycycline, and I would consult your physician.
Other questions? I'm going to take a moderator's prerogative then and ask a question or two. Is there any use or is there any ability to do environmental sampling for leptospirosis?
We're starting to do environmental sampling with PCR, real-time PCR, which has been pretty exciting, and we're actually being able to identify certain pathogenic strains. In the past, it was difficult to differentiate saprophytes from pathogens, but with new technologies, we are actually starting to do that. And Joe Vinetz from UCSD has been doing that in Peru.
And with that, would there be, do you anticipate there being an environmental control aspect to lepto?
The only environmental control aspect would be death to all rodents. And maybe that's good, but it may be impossible, though.
Okay. And how much do you think, have you ever looked at rates of things like doxycycline or tetracycline use in Hawaii? Is it higher than most places? Are a lot of people, do you think, empirically treated?
No. In Hawaii, when people present with a febrile-like illness, they're more likely than not to be correctly diagnosed. So our rate of correctly identifying leptospirosis is way, way higher than anywhere else in the U.S. or nationally.
But do you think people are also being, if they come in with a febrile-like illness, empirically given a tetracycline antibiotic? I'm just wondering if maybe they're used at a higher rate in Hawaii because that would be on the differential more than anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that, but that's an excellent question. I'm not aware of that. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.